Excellent. Well, welcome back. Today, as we come together, we're actually going to be wrapping up this conversation that we've been in the midst of called Thriving in Transition. And for the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at these things that aren't necessarily shattering, life-shattering, and that we've never heard them before, but they're things that are incredibly important, foundational in our pursuit of the one who loves us most. And we've been looking at, okay, how do we, as we're in the midst of transition, and all of us are in the midst of transition right now, how do we make sure that in the midst of this transition, those things become stronger in our lives as opposed to weaker? Remember what we talked about at the beginning of this journey. The reality is, if as we move through this journey, if we're not paying attention to these habits, we're forming new habits. As you move through transition, you're forming new habits. And oftentimes, we move through these transitions in life, and because we don't pay attention to what's most important, we come out in a place we never expected to be. And sometimes it can take us years. Sometimes it's not until our next transition that we actually recover from that. And so as a family, we wanted to take this time and to ask, okay, how do we make sure that we establish habits that allow us to love him better, to pursue him more as we move through this transition? And I have to tell you, in my own life, I'm enjoying this. I love the rhythms notifications on my phone and just being so consistent with that and being able to walk through with Anthony as we move through our Bible reading plan in the mornings and be able to talk through those chapters. It's been amazing in my own life. And then even with what Anthony talked about last week, it's a challenge to me of, okay, how do I make sure that I'm taking care of my entire being, understanding that God calls me to love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and making sure that we prioritize these. It's incredible. One of the things that I'm really excited about is that there are over 260 people who have signed up to be a part of those rhythms notifications on our app so that we can consistently be pursuing God throughout our day. And even if it's just for a moment, to refocus ourselves on what's most important. And I'll be honest with you, it's not going to be easy. As we continue through this transition, the transition is going to want to steal this from us. It's going to take some work, and there's going to be times where it's going to be hard, and we're going to feel like, man, I just want to quit. And we want to just give ourselves to the transition and the busyness of it and all that's happening. But it's so important that we pay attention to that foundation, that we're building these habits. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time today, or maybe you've been joining us for the past couple of weeks, and you're trying to figure out, okay, what is this all about? I want you to understand, this isn't about being better at religion. This isn't about, okay, how do we get better at religion? How do we get better at following this ritual routine? That's not what this is about. This is about a relationship. It's about how do we experience him more? How do we love him better? How do we walk with him more? It's about making sure that the relationship strengthens through the transition instead of having the relationship weaken during the transition. And today, as we come to a close, I want to walk us through one final habit. It's really practical, but it's really important. It's actually rooted in understanding who it is that God is, understanding the very character of God and the reality that God is phenomenally generous. There's this moment where Jesus is speaking to his followers, and he says something that's kind of funny and a little bit intense if you will. It's found in Matthew chapter 7. It says this. It says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? He says, which of you, if your child comes to you and asks for something, is going to give him a stone or a snake? He says, no, you're not going to do that. You love to give good things to your children. Listen to how he continues. He says, if you then, though you are evil, and I love this part. He says, if you then, though you are evil, he says, even you, and how you're screwed up, and even you, how you're broken, even you, and the fact that you struggle with the selfishness, even you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And Jesus is saying, no, wait. God loves to give. God loves to give. And this is coming from, Jesus, the one who would give his life for you and for me. The ultimate of what God would give. And again, I just want to reiterate, this is about a relationship. This isn't about a religion. And you have to understand, God gave his very son because he wanted you to know that relationship with him. He wanted you to spend eternity with him. And Jesus says, you have to understand something about God, who he is. He loves to give. If you think that you love to give to your kids, you can't even begin to imagine how God loves to give. And the reality is that everything that we have is a result of that. It's a result of him giving to us. James 1 says it this way. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. James says, I want you to understand something about what it is that you have. All of it has been given to you by him. Every good and perfect gift is from above. God loves to give. And everything that we have is from him. It's a gift from him. But here's the thing. God doesn't give to us just so that we can receive. This is so important as we are understanding who God is and the journey that God has for us. And it's difficult because it's so different than the way that we think. But as God steps into our life, he doesn't give just so that we can receive. He actually loves to give so that we can give. He loves to give so that we can experience what he loves, so that we can experience what he loves to do, the way that he loves to give to us. He wants for us to experience that same thing. It's just like a couple of months ago, as we were preparing for Mother's Day, my boys, they wanted to give, but they didn't have the ability to give. And so I said, no, I want to give to you so that you can give, so that you can experience that joy of giving. And God says, that's what I want. That's what I want to do in your life. I love to give to you so that you can experience the joy of giving. Listen what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says this. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of you and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. This is so important. He says, God loves to give, and God's going to give to you in all sorts of different ways so that you can be generous on every occasion. Now, let me just point this out really quickly. It doesn't say you'll be made rich in every way so that you should be generous. It doesn't say so that you would be generous, so that you are required. No, that's not what it says. What is the word that he uses here? He uses the word can. So that you can. And God, just as I did with my boys, just God wants to be able to give to us so that we can experience, so that we can experience the joy of generosity. So that we can give. Because you see, and this is probably one of the greatest. Romans, in the book of Romans, as Paul's writing to the church at Rome, he talks to them about how as we're on this journey and we experience God's grace, there's a transformation that needs to take place. And that transformation is our minds. There needs to be a transformation of our minds. The way that we think about the world, the way that we see the world. And one of the greatest transformations that has to take place for us is the movement from thinking that it's better to receive than to give, to the reality that Jesus taught. Listen to what it says in Acts 20, verse 35. It says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." The transition from the way that we typically think, which is, no, it's better to get than to give. And Jesus said, no, I'm turning that whole thing upside down. It's actually better to give than it is to receive. And you have to understand this. You have to understand this about who God is. Do you understand this about God? Do you understand all that God has given to you? You couldn't possibly, I couldn't possibly begin to give back to him what he has given to me. Let me ask you, does God look at that as a disadvantage for him or an advantage? Does God look at that as a loss? No. Why? Well, because it's better to give than it is to receive. In that scenario, you have to understand. God understands. No. I get to experience the joy of generosity. Jesus, it says that Jesus looked forward to the joy that was ahead of him. There's incredible joy in giving. When Jesus goes to the cross, he looks forward to the joy that was before him. It's the joy of giving. And the reality that Jesus got to practice giving in a way that none of us ever will be able to experience. And the incredible joy that comes from that. And God wants for us to know that. God wants for us to experience that. God actually says that that's where life, true life, is found. The central moment of the entire scriptures is a moment in which God does what? He gives. In which Jesus does what? He gives. Because true life is found in giving. Listen to how he says it in 1 Timothy. He says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all that we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others, giving. And then listen to what he says. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a foundation for the future so that they may experience what? True life. True life is found in generosity. And this is one of those areas. If you've been working through the Bible reading plan with us in the mornings, we've been talking about human wisdom and heavenly wisdom, the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom that comes from God. This is one of those places where it's drastically different, because our wisdom says true life is found in accumulation, and true life is found in how I can get and how I can have. And God says, man, you couldn't be more wrong. True life is found in giving. Not in having much, but in giving much. And he's calling us into this. He's calling us to establish, not just that we occasionally are generous, but that we have the character trait of generosity that we're known for, we're known by generosity, that we consistently give. That I understand that I've been enriched to whatever extent that I have. I've been enriched so that I can give. About a year ago or so, I had the opportunity to travel with some friends of mine to Guatemala, and as we were there, we were visiting a village that was very, very poor, and the individuals that I was traveling with, they were well off, and as we were in the midst of that village, the villagers came to give them gifts. And as our group was there and the villagers were coming to bring us gifts, there were some in the group that were hesitant and were like, no, I want to be able to give to you. I don't want to. And I had the opportunity on the trip to actually lead a devotional time for those who were on the trip. And the next day I sat them down and I said to them, listen, you need to understand something. As you're in the midst of that situation, the people that you interacted with yesterday, they understood something that many of us miss. As a matter of fact, most of us miss, and that is this. They understand that it's better to give than to receive. And I said, when you're hesitant to receive that, you're robbing them of true life, because they want to give. It's amazing how the poor so often understand this better than the wealthy. And it's amazing how often you interact with those who have very little, but when they're given, you know what they want to do? They want to give. Because they understand what God has taught us, that it's better to give than it is to receive. And this past year, as a church family, we decided to step into this in a way that we never have before with the Home Initiative. And we decided that we're going to be phenomenally generous, and we're going to give in ways that we've never given before. That we are going to not just find our home in Him, but that we're going to create home for others, and we're going to work. We're going to work to be able to create a space for people to be able to find home, not just for a moment, but for generations to come, and be able to impact people with the truth of who Jesus is. And we decided to step into that. It's been amazing to see how that's happened over the past 3 months as people have stepped into it with generous hearts and have given in ways that they've never given before. And it's really interesting, too. It's really interesting, too, because as we've worked through this, the entire journey for us was about the journey of Abraham, and that we wanted to have faith like Abraham. We wanted to trust like Abraham. And as we stepped into generosity, we wanted to have that kind of faith. The really interesting thing is this. You don't develop the faith of Abraham after the baby's born. You don't develop the faith of Abraham when everything's going well. You don't develop the faith of Abraham when everything's in line. You develop the faith of Abraham when it looks like there's no chance for a baby to be born. When it seems impossible. We prayed that God would allow us to develop that faith. And as we move through this, I think that God's given us a chance, an unbelievable chance to do just that. But if that's going to be developed, well, then everything can't be in place. Everything can't be aligned. And God is calling us to step out with generosity. And whether you were part of that journey with us previously or not, this is a journey that we're on together as a family. And as God steps into our lives, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, He's calling us to this reality that's better to give than to receive. This reality that we want to be generous people, not just occasionally generous people. We want to live this out. But as we move through transition, if we're going to do that, we have to be very careful. Because if we're going to live out what God is calling us to, we have to avoid the traps that will steal that from us. Because if you remember a couple years ago here at Hoboken Grace, we worked through the fact that for many of us, while we were intentioned for impact, we wanted to be generous people. We weren't positioned for impact because we hadn't been wise with how we engaged our finances. We had the best of intentions, but the reality is we couldn't because we hadn't handled our finances the way that God had taught us. We actually spent a significant amount of time together as a family working through that and saying, okay, how do we not just be intentioned, but how do we be positioned for impact? And as we walked into the Home Initiative, for so many of us, we realized, no, man, we're no longer just intentioned. We are positioned. But as we move through transition, it can be really easy for us to lose that. And there are a couple traps that we can so easily fall into. And I want to make sure that as we move through the transition ahead of us, that we pay attention to these traps, that we watch out for these traps, that we establish the habits that allow us to not just be intentioned, but to continue to be positioned. So that we can live the life that's truly life, so that we can continue to live lives that are characterized by generosity. The first of those traps is this: it's poor stewardship. It's just simply not handling our money well. In other words, we stop telling our money where to go. And when you stop telling your money where to go, you wonder where it went. And the reality is that for some of you, if you were to go back months ago, you were consistent and you were putting together that finance plan every month and you were putting together that cash flow plan and you were telling your money where to go and you were saying, no, this is how we're going to spend our money and you were intentional about it. And on a monthly basis, as a couple or as an individual, you were sitting down and putting that budget together and saying, okay, we're going to be good stewards of what it is that God's given me because every good and perfect thing has come to me by Him. So I'm going to be a good steward of that. But then transition hit. And all of a sudden, those meetings went out the window. So some of you right now, as you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, wow. We did used to do that, didn't we? When was the last time we did that? You know how I know that that's true? Because it's true for me. And for Anna and I, as we've walked through this, it's unbelievable, isn't it? Isn't it strange how you could be locked in your house and be busier than ever before? How's that possible? It doesn't seem like life should work that way. But somehow we had less things that we could do and more things that we had to do. And in the midst of transition, routine gets thrown off, and all of a sudden those things that were super consistent, that you actually worked really, really hard to make very consistent, all of a sudden, well, they go out the window. And rather than you being intentional about your finances, you lost sight of that, and you woke up one day and realized, I really don't know where it's going anymore. If we're going to thrive in transition, if we're going to be able to live out true life, to be able to continue to not just be intentioned but be positioned for impact, then we have to be intentional about how we manage what it is that God's given us. To be able to get back to that consistent cash flow plan process, to get back to, some of you may be saying, what in the world are we talking about? Check out FPU. FPU is something, Financial Peace University, is something that we ask for every single person who's a part of Hope, Hope, and Grace to go through. Why? Because it's so important to living the life that God has called us to live, that we understand how to be able to engage finances the way that God teaches us to engage them. It's so important that as we move through this, that we don't fall in the trap of poor stewardship. The second trap is debt. And all of a sudden, you begin to move through transition, and you've got that credit card, and that credit card starts flying everywhere. Every time you turn around. Some of you, when you got locked in your house and had nothing else to do, you became Amazon's biggest fan. Except for the fact that they couldn't deliver on time anymore. So then you switched to Walmart for a little while, but now Amazon's back, and you're super excited that Amazon's back, and you can get everything the next day. So you just started ordering everything that you can, because I can get it the next day. Finally, next day delivery's back. Some of you had parties in your home because next day delivery was back. And that credit card just... Have you ever, I'm willing to bet that almost all of us have experienced this. Have you ever moved and a month after moving, you got your credit card statement and thought, what in the world happened? How in the course, and some of you, because you're here in Hoboken, you only moved 3 blocks. How do you build up $10,000 in debt by moving 3 blocks? Well, there was the couch, and there was, it's unbelievable how in the midst of transition this can happen. And when you make yourself a slave to debt, you don't have the ability to move into the future. You're still paying on the past. You don't have the ability to be able to move into the moment with generosity. You're still paying on the past. And God's taught us, no, don't make yourself a slave to debt. It's going to rob you of true life. And it's so easy in the midst of transition. It's so easy. And in the midst of transition, the other thing that happens is there's a lot of comfort spending. There's a lot of comfort spending. Because stress level's high. And when stress levels are high, we spend. We're Americans. I love how sometimes people are like, yeah, there are some people who have a shopping problem. If you live in America, you have a shopping problem. We just need to be honest about that. And all of a sudden, a lot of, well, I deserve, well, we need a, and this can happen really easily. Really quickly. Make sure. First trap, poor stewardship. Second trap, debt. The third trap is a little more interesting. The third trap is that we hoard. Because after all, we're safe if we save. We're safe if we save. So I'm just going to accumulate and accumulate and accumulate. It's been interesting as we've moved through this time because the reality is that for some it's been very difficult in terms of finances, but for others it's been interesting because our expenses have actually decreased, and then at the same time, because of stimulus and all of these different things, at the same time our income may have even increased, and in that time there's this temptation to just hoard. Why? Because it's really easy. It's really easy. This is why God said in that verse that we looked at, it's really easy to find our security in our savings. And so we hoard. And it's really easy, rather than finding our home in Him, to find our home in our hoard. And rather than looking at it and saying, okay, God has given to me so that I can give, we look at it and say, no, I'm safe if I save. And there's nothing wrong with saving. If you walk through Financial Peace University, we'll talk about the importance of that. But there's a difference between saving and hoarding. And we have to make sure that we don't begin to find our home in our hoard. That we continue to find our home in Him. And that we follow Him into the life that is truly life. God is stepping into our lives, and He's saying, "Listen, I want for you to know what I know. I want for you to experience what I experience as one who gives. I want for you to experience that. So I'm going to give to you so that you can do the same." As we move through this transition, let's make sure that we continue to be good stewards. That we make sure that we don't allow ourselves to become slaves to debt. And that we don't begin to buy into the lie that what we've been given is so that we can have much, but rather so that we can give much. May we be those children who come to our dad and ask, not so that we can keep, but so that we can give. And may we, as we look to our Father and see Him give to us, may we realize the joy that He wants us to know, the joy that Jesus experienced as He went to that cross to give to us. The joy that's better to give than to receive. The joy of generosity. May we emerge from this transition not just intentioned for impact, but more than ever before, positioned for impact. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank You for what You have taught us about the reality of where joy is found, of where true life is found. Thank You for the amazing way that You have given to us, that You have poured into us, and at the same time taught us that no, this isn't just for You to keep. I want for You to know the joy of giving, and have called us to that. Father, I pray that this would continue to work its way into who we are. And Father, I thank You for how You've continued to teach me personally this, and this reality that this is where true life is found. In Jesus' name, amen.